All right, guys. So this week we've been thinking about survival, haven't we? And Bob and Winston showed us an illustration of it's important to have water. We all need water to survive. You can go without food for quite a while, but water is essential. It's very important for your safety. It's important for you to live. We need it. But it's not just water that we need. Like the guys have shown, it's clean water. There's plenty of water about, isn't there? Where were we today? The beach. Was there a lot of water there? Is it any good for us to drink? No, it's bad. So there's plenty of water, but the issue is clean water. We need clean water to survive. We can't have contaminated water. It'll do us no good, no good at all. So we want to think about that tonight. We're going to think about contaminated or clean. Choose your source. And I want to think about the words of Jesus when he said in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus says, "I give water, and the water that I give gives eternal life." It's pure, it's clean, it's uncontaminated, it's good for your soul. And if we think about that, we think about Jesus and how he says, "I give clean water," well then we can really think that there's other sources of water that aren't clean. If Jesus says, "I give the clean water, the pure water, the water that will give you life," then there's other sources that will not do that for you. In fact, they'll do the very opposite. Jesus offers clean water, but the world, Satan, offers contaminated water. It may look like it'll do you good, but actually when you drink it, it does you far from good. The pure source of water, the living water, the water that gives eternal life is Jesus. But the devil, who's real, gives water that's not good for us, is unclean. The Bible tells us that the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. Unclean. Dirty. The Bible also tells us that what? Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have the devil who is a liar and the father of lies. And then we have Jesus who is truth. One contaminated source of water, as it were, and one clean source, Jesus, that gives water, that gives life. Life. So I want to have a look at these two sources of water this evening and compare the contaminated water source of Satan and the clean water source of the Savior. And here's the first contaminated water I want to deal with. The first real lie. It's when the world tells you that you are an accident. That everything you see was one big accident, one big fluke. Millions and billions of years ago, some dust, space dust exploded and created everything that we can see and observe now. Us. That's what the world teaches you. That's what you'll be taught in school. That it's one big cosmic accident. Everything we see, the laws of physics, the planets, the seasons, the plant life, the animal life, human beings, everything that we see is one big accident. You have no purpose. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. That's what the world wants you to believe. You're just the product of an accident. No meaning, no reason. It's just luck, just coincidence. There's no purpose for you being here. But the Bible, the truth, the clean water, says that you are no accident. That you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That you have a creator, a God who loves you. You're a product of design. You ever watch the wildlife programs on television? Who's seen a wildlife program before? Okay. And when you watch them, just say we're looking at a predator. We're looking at one of the animals that's at the top of the food chain. That's designed to hunt and kill. And there's a wildlife program about that predator. And the narrator, David Attenborough, or whoever it'll be, will say this creature is designed perfectly to do what it needs to do. To kill, to hunt. Talk about the cheetah and how fast it can go. They'll say it's perfectly designed to go fast. And they go design, 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 design. If they're a design, what does it mean? What should it mean? That there's a designer. But the world says, no, no, no. It's not design. It's pure accident. It's pure luck. But it's design. A painting has a painter. A building has a builder. Creation has a creator. You are no accident. God made you. God knows you. God loves you. He knows everything about you. You're made in His image. You're not an accident. You're not here by accident. God wanted you to be here tonight. Understand this. This is a divine appointment. God wants you to be here. He's reaching out to you this evening. This is not chance. This is not luck. You're not here by some accident. God wanted you here to hear the messages this week, to be with the people of God this week, to watch the baptism today. God wanted you to see that. He's reaching out to you. God made everything that we see. In Romans 1, and verse number 20, the Bible says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Everywhere we go, we see evidence of the Creator God. And what does that mean? That means when we stand before Him, and everybody will stand before Him one day, we have no excuse. We cannot say, "I didn't know you existed." For we see it every day. We see it in nature. The seasons. The sun rising. The sun setting. We were at the beach today and we seen the tide come in and go out. It's all around us. If you have a brothers or sisters, you've seen a child being born. The creative power of God is all around us. This planet that we live on right now is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour right now, and we're just sitting here. Does that not blow your mind? It blows my mind. 1,000 miles per hour, it spins around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. We're just close enough to the sun, but not too far away. Too far away, we'd freeze. Too close, we'd scorch. We're just right in the right purpose. It spins wonderfully, and we have the cycles and the seasons and the years. Not an accident. It's all the design of God. Listen, the world wants to say that's just luck. But God says, just look. Look at it. I'm everywhere. You can't get away from me. You've no excuse. We can all see the creative power of God. Never mind that we laugh, we cry, we have fun. Where did that come from? Lucky dust? I don't think so. God designed it that way. He made you that way. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. And God loves you. He loves you. The world says you're an accident. God says you're no accident. That's the clean water. The next one I want to look at is, we're good people. That's the unclean water of the world. That's what they want you to believe. We're basically good. You know, when it comes my time, if there is a God and there is a heaven, when I stand before Him, well, I'm a good enough person. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done anything major in the scheme of things. I'll be all right. God will let me in. I'm basically good. You know, my grandmother, when I try to witness to her, I try to share the gospel with her, every time we get to the point where I say, do you know you're going to go to heaven? Yes, I'm going to go to heaven. I said, well, what basis are you going to go to heaven? She says, well, I'm a good person. You heard that before? I'm a good person. The world wants us to believe that we're good people. But the word of God, the clean water, the living water, reveals to us that we're not good. The Bible says there is none righteous, there's none good, no, not one. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short. None of us is righteous. No, not one. You may say, well, I don't feel that way. You can't believe everything you feel. Understand that. You say that's not what everybody else believes. Again, truth is not based on how many people believe it. That's not what qualifies it. It's the source that qualifies it. Truth is not based on feelings. It's not based on how many people believe it. Truth is truth. And the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path or the way that leads to life. From man's perspective, we're basically good. But from God's perspective, we're all bad. That's the truth. You may say, well, I think I'm a good person. Well, how do you define a good person? What makes a good person? Do you have to be a little good, a lot good, a lifetime of good? What is it? Who decides it? Is your good my good? Is my good your good? Who decides it? Where's the bar? Who's the judge? We have to judge goodness against God's standards. He's the benchmark. You've heard this. Have you lied? Hands up who hasn't lied before. Good. It's your first time. Well done. Nobody. You don't have to go to the other things, the other commandments. We're all beat. We're guilty in one, we're guilty in all. Before God, who is perfectly holy, infinitely holy. We can't even fathom how holy God is. So when we say we're good enough for God, what are we really saying? We're saying we know how holy God is. And we can never understand that. We can never plumb the depths of it. We're basically bad. Remember, God sees everything we do. Everything we think. Everything. That should frighten the life out of you. If we could all see everything you'd thought this week, and I'm talking to everybody here, pastors included, it'd frighten the life out of you. But God sees it all. Everything, what's on our hearts. He marks it down. He doesn't look down on us and say, there's a good people. He looks down and says, there's a bad people, a guilty people. But here's the clean water. Here's the truth. Yes, we're not a good people, but we are a loved people. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. He died for you, in spite of everything he knows about you. He died for me. He's seen everything I've thought, everything I've done, everything I will do, and he still went to the cross for me. I was a wicked man. Wicked. But he died for me. You're not a good people. You're a loved people. God loved you so much that he came to this earth and he walked amongst his creation, lived a perfect life, and went to the cross, was humiliated, beaten, mocked, and died for us, even though he knew everything about us. The clean water tells us we're a loved people. Here's the next one. God won't punish us. That's what the world wants you to believe. There is no such thing as hell. A loving God wouldn't create hell. A loving God wouldn't send me to hell. A loving God wouldn't this and that. But a loving God and a holy God are the same God. You can't separate the two of them. Justice must be done. Remember, God's seen everything in our hearts. He's seen all the wickedness. Talked about this last night. He can't have a dirty house. He has to punish sin. It's not popular to talk about that. People don't like to talk about that. But it needs to be said. Why does it need to be said? Because God does not bluff. God doesn't mess about. He's not playing a game. He's not saying these things and then if you don't believe him, say, oh, it didn't matter. It was only a trick. They're here in the word of God because they're truth. God does not mess about. He cannot let sin go unpunished. God had to do something about it. And here's the thing. Here's the clean water. He did. Jesus died for us. Jesus died in Calvary for you and me so that we don't have to face God's punishment. We don't have to go to hell. There's a way. There's an escape. Saved means what? Saved. If you're okay, you don't need saved, do you? No, of course you don't. The person that needs saved knows that they're in trouble. Cries out to God and God saves them. That's the clean water. Jesus died. There is a way out. The unclean water of the world says, don't you worry about it. There's no such thing as a hell. But the truth is a different matter. And the next one, the last one. The unclean waters of the world and Satan say there's many ways to heaven. You can get there any way you want. By works. What I mean by works, I mean by doing good. Again, there's that good. How much is enough? Who knows? Do good works and earn your way to heaven. The Bible says it's a gift, a free gift of God. You're saved by grace. It's nothing of yourselves. You cannot do it. Even if God set a benchmark and told you how to do it, you still couldn't make it. Or what about this one? Be sincere. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you earnestly believe it. Or other religions. Buddha, Muhammad. There's other ways to get to heaven. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Buddha will not and cannot save you. Muhammad cannot and will not save you. Your name will not and cannot save you. The only name that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that tonight. God's not messing about. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Life. Think about this. If there was any other way, then God made a massive, massive mistake when Jesus went to the cross. If there was another way for you and I to be with God forever and eternity, to be saved, to have that clean water, that everlasting water, what was God doing? What was he doing? There was no other way. Jesus had to die. He had to go to the cross for us. He's the only way. Nah, he was the only way then. If you want to escape the judgment that is due, you've got to trust Jesus. You want to be born again. You want to have the Holy Spirit living within you. You want to have the Christian life that you see other people have. You've got to trust Jesus. It's the only way. How do you do that? You got to believe, repentance and faith. One and the two same things. Let me illustrate. Matthew Costa. I haven't prepped them for this. This is a bit of a bug. So, here it is. Here's repentance and faith. Now, what have I said? That salvation's what? A free gift of God. So, I stand here. Now, Matthew, I'm being God for the, this is not. Don't mark me down. But I stand here as God with a free gift of salvation. Imagine a gift, a present, okay? Matthew is at enmity with me, which means he's turned his back on me. He's facing that way. But I come to him and I say, Jesus died on the cross for you, Matthew. Here you can have the free gift of salvation. It's completely free. You can be with me forever in eternity. Here it is. Do you want the gift?
Yeah.
So what do you need to do? Can you accept it the way you're standing?
No, I'll have to turn around.
Turn around and take it. So what did he have to do? He had to turn and he had to take. That's repentance and faith. He had to believe the gift was there. He had to turn from the old life and he had to turn to God. He had to change his mind and take that free gift. That's it. That's all you have to do. I hate using the word do because it's not really even doing anything, is it? It's there. You can escape. You can be free. You can have that clean water. Let me wrap this up. There's many contaminated water sources out there. We've only touched on a few. Lie after lie after lie. All designed to keep you from God. To keep you from heaven. But the clean water, the water that Jesus gives, is a water that gives eternal life. Jesus is the answer. It's Jesus who is necessary. If we're to survive, if we're to be with God, we need Jesus. We can't get away from that. So here's the thing. Jesus presents the truth, the clean water. The world, the devil, presents the contaminated water, the lies that will keep you from heaven and send you to hell. But here's the thing. God allows you a choice tonight. He doesn't force himself upon you. The creation of God and the Word of God presents God to you, presents that way, presents that clean water, but you've got to make a choice. Let me illustrate quickly, similar to what the guys were doing. This is Evian, my favourite water. What's this? This is Barry Island water, not my favourite water. So this is from the sea, Barry Island water, Evian from Asda. Now, you've got a choice. You're dying of thirst. You're out in the jungle. You need something to drink. I appear with my Evian and my Barry Island special water. What do you want? Evian. You don't want this. This is disgusting. You want Evian. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? There's not even a choice there to make, really. I presented you with a choice, but it's obvious. You wouldn't even take a second look at the Barry Island special water. You want the pure water. You want the clean water. Well, here's the choice that's presented in front of you this evening. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's the world. It's the clean water, or it's the lies, the contaminated water. The clean water, the Lord Jesus Christ, will forgive you of your sins, will allow you to be in heaven with God for eternity. The other water will send you to hell. What do you want? Doesn't seem like much of a choice to me. When your physical well-being's on the line, you'll go for the clean water. Your spiritual well-being is on the line, and it is of eternally more value than you can ever, ever imagine. God gives you a choice. Contaminated or clean? What's it going to be? What water source are you going to go to? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, as we thank you for this time, Lord, we think about the Lord Jesus. We think about the work that you've done for us, Lord. We think about Calvary. And we think about the clean water, that water of life, eternal life, that is an offer this evening, Lord. And we know, Lord, there's those among us that have never made that decision to trust you, never made that decision to go to the clean water source. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign this evening, Lord. That you would work in hearts and minds. For those here that are struggling with making that step, I pray that they would have the courage to seek the truth. To find somebody here that they have confidence in. To discuss these things further. Lord, to make that decision, to trust you, it's a no-brainer. Those of us that know you as Savior know that it's the greatest decision that we've ever made. You have given us life new, life eternal, a home in heaven. Why would we not want that? Lord, be with us the rest of this week. I pray that you would move upon hearts. break down barriers. In Jesus' name, amen.